And the Lord caused Adam to take a deep sleep, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and he brought her unto the man. I know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading and the preaching of his word.
Morning, church. I wanted to correct my time prophecy from 2 weeks ago when I was here. Well, it wasn't really a prophecy, but I said that on the way here from our house in Roseburg to here, it took me 15 minutes. And the retired law enforcement officer said, "Man, And so, just to correct the time by a little bit, this morning it took 18 minutes. I kept track. So my lead in my right foot is not quite 15 minutes heavy, it's 18 minutes heavy. So it wasn't quite so bad, Mike. It wasn't quite so bad. And he's going, "Wait a minute, I'm doing the math. And you still, we won't do the math. We won't do the math." So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much for bringing us here. Thank you so much, Father, for the gift you have given to mankind in women, in our mothers. And so, Lord, I just thank you so much for the promise, especially of the Holy Spirit. Please just speak to our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so before I go any further, tomorrow is Mother's Day. And so I wanted to take the time to acknowledge, who's a mother? So, happy Mother's Day. Where would we be without mothers?
Not here.
Not here. Good call, Susan. Good call. And that's true. We would not be. And so what I wanted to do, and you were right, I definitely want to speak on the women in our lives today. And so I just want to read again, Genesis 2, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. So I don't know about you, but once in a while I have to take scripture and turn it into a word picture for my mind really to be able to see it. So if God brought the woman to the man, what was he really doing? He was walking her down the aisle. So here was Daddy. Here was Dad bringing her to, it's the very first marriage ceremony is what he was doing. And I have to tell you, it just takes me back to when I saw my wife, actually this June, I'll be married to her 30 years. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. She's put up with me for that long. And but when I saw her coming down that aisle, oh man, it stirred emotions in me that I've never had before. And I believe that God literally wanted to say, "Adam, I give this woman to you." Because that's the question this asks. Who gives this woman to this man? I do, is what God was saying. You like that word picture? I really do. I really do. Proverbs 31 verse 30 says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." And I have to tell you something. A woman who fears the Lord was actually a very large part of why I stand here today. Because when I went to work at Leone Meadows Summer Camp, in 1990, Alana, at the time Frost, thought I was the biggest jerk that walked the earth. That was 1990. But by 1991, she came to her senses, and she realized I wasn't the biggest jerk that walked the earth. I was the type that she wanted to date and then ultimately end up marrying. But in the meantime, I will tell you something, that at that point in time, at 20 years old, even though I worked at a summer camp, I was not really that much of a spiritual person. In 1990, she was right. She was right. I mean, I wasn't the biggest jerk on earth, but I was part of the group of them. And I have to tell you that in 1991, I thought to myself, I really like this girl. I really do. But the way I spoke, the way I acted, I mean, all of that sort of stuff, what it did was it actually made me just say, God, if she's a spiritual person and I'm not, how long is she going to want to be around me? And truthfully, if you're a spiritual person and you have somebody that's not, eventually you're going to have to part ways. And so either she needed to become less spiritual or I needed to become more. And becoming less spiritual wasn't an option for her. And I'm like, then God, what? I need to make some changes. Can you help me make some changes? And he did. And by the way, he's still helping me make changes, you know, like my heavy right foot and all that stuff like that. He's still helping me make changes. But you know, one thing that I have really, really come to know about our God is this. He is a loving, persevering, long-suffering, patient teacher. And so I don't know about you, but sometimes I test his patience. And I would guess that all of us, if we were honest with ourselves, would say, and we do the same. But he loves us still. And the amazing thing is that as a work in progress, for some reason, God says, I have a word that I'd like for you to speak to my people. And it's an amazing privilege, honor, and responsibility. And I just praise God for it. But it was the woman that I really liked, who I fell in love with, and I said, Lord, I need to make changes in order for her to want to be around me. And he did. So guys, the women in our lives are very important, because oftentimes when we fall short, it's the women in our lives that actually bring us up. Our son is 22 years old, and he was saying fairly recently, yeah, you know, I've been hanging around. He by the way, he has had really, really bad luck with the whole female thing. Poor guy. And he said, you know, I want to find some girl who maybe makes me want to be a better person. And then he and I that were talking just by ourselves. And he said, well, you've told me about, you know, how mom, well, maybe God can. And I said, well, God did with me, and he can with you. But you've got to ask him. And you have to desire also, you have to have some desire to be a better person. I won't go into what type of person he is. But what I want to look at is, for the most part, for the rest of our time together, we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 25. So if you want to follow along, you can. For the most part, we'll be going through 1 Samuel chapter 25. And most of us are probably familiar with this story. But it's the story of David coming into contact with Nabal and Abigail. So we're gonna look into that story. 1 Samuel chapter 25. We're gonna start with verse 2. Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail. She was a woman of good understanding and beautiful in appearance. So that's a really good combination, would you say? Beautiful in appearance, but a woman of good understanding, or we would say she was a wise woman. That's a great combination. So I just wanted to emphasize the meaning of her name. I found three different meanings. It could mean my father's joy. It could also mean a fountain of joy or a cause of joy. So Abigail brought to life and those around her joy. So the women in our lives, men, should be that fountain of joy. Amen? Make sure you say that louder. They're sitting next to you. But it goes on. But the man was harsh and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. What was the house of Caleb known for? What was Caleb known for? Caleb was one of two people from the generation that wandered in the wilderness, that when they were sent over as spies into the promised land, he and Joshua came back and they said, "We are able to take it. Let's go up and take this land. It's a goodly land. Let's take it." And the other 10 said, "No way. They're giants. And by the way, for you saying that, we need to stone you to death." But Caleb and Joshua held firm in their faith. That's the house of Caleb. But if you notice, it's actually a contrast. Because Nabal was harsh and all this, and then it says, but he was of the house of Caleb. So he was moving contrary to what his great-grandfather, or however many greats it would have been, how he functioned in life, because he was faithful. And he said, God can do what he says he can do. And somehow Nabal had lost that, and there's that contrast there that we need to make sure that we don't miss. Verse 4, when David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel, go to Nabal, and greet him in my name, and thus you shall say to him who lives in prosperity, peace be to you, and peace to your house, and peace to all that you have." David wants to make certain that Nabal's household knows, we come in peace. Because David was known to be doing a few raids in his day. And he had kind of this rebel group that was known to be causing a little bit of war at times. And David was a man of war, right? David slayed his 10,000s and Saul his thousands. And of course that song stirred something up. We won't even talk about that. Peace be to you. So it's obvious David knew from afar, somehow he knew of and had some sort of connection to Nabal. He said, go to Nabal and ask for some provisions, which at that time in that area, we would maybe think it strange for this group of people to show up and say, "Hey, while you're celebrating that you're shearing all of your sheep, can you share some of your excess with us?" But if you go back to their time, it was when you would bring in the harvest or you would shear your sheep, there would be a huge party that would actually surround this. And they would be doing an awful lot of excess. And David knew that. And they didn't have much excess. They were wandering in the wilderness making sure that they didn't lose their lives to Saul's armies. But it was very common for this to happen, and it wasn't some unusual request, but unfortunately, David had to remind Nabal's servants Dan Nabel, you know, when you were in the wilderness and we were out there, and then some people came to try to steal some of your livestock, it was my men that made sure that you lost nothing. He should have been grateful, right? I mean, gratitude is something that we should have, especially when somebody really helped us out. Because he had a time of need, because people had bad intentions for his livestock. So David's men took care of him and made sure there was no loss. But here's how Nabal responds in verse 10. Then Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? And who's the son of Jesse?" Can you just see his posture? Who's this guy? I don't know who he is. There are many servants nowadays who break away, each one from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it to men when I do know, I don't even know where they're from? Oh, my wife's telling me that this is basically right in my face.
Thank you.
Do I look like a clown with a black nose? A unicorn? It was coming out my forehead. That's going to look really good on the live stream. Hey, sorry for the unicorn look. All right, back to our regularly scheduled program. Do you think, though, that knowing David's reputation, those were pretty bold words, would you say? David was a military man, and then you say to his reasonable request, because you have all this excess and you're going to have a huge party for your servants and your household, and David just says, "Can we just have some provisions?" And he says, "I don't even know who you are." Everybody knew who David was. He was not moving forward with prudence, would you agree? Verse 12. So David's young men turned on their heels and went back, and they came and told him all these words. Then David said to his men, "Every man gird on his sword." So every man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And about 400 men went with David, and 200 stayed with the supplies. It's time to go. There's something missing at the start of this battle. And do you know what it is? David, almost always, before he went to battle, what did David do? He sought the Lord. But in his anger, David said, "Just put your sword on and let's go take care of business. He's not going to treat my people. He's not going to speak to me that way." And we talked in Sabbath school, you know, there was sometimes God maybe has some expressions of anger. But God in his anger always kept it as righteous indignation. And my statement during Sabbath school, if you missed Sabbath school, hey, we would love to see you at Sabbath school.
Amen.
And those of you, some of you are going, "Oh, I wasn't there." We'll see you there. And unfortunately, he went forward with anger and didn't seek the Lord. That's a big key, because when we move forward with anger, most often we leave the Lord behind, and our anger is expressed in ways that's not good. But Nabal's servants actually heard this interaction, and they saw the frustration with David's servants, and they knew that if those servants approached David, our household, our entire household, is going to be in big, big trouble. They knew David. So what do? Do you think they went and talked to Nabal? Well, why wouldn't they talk to Nabal? It's like, hey, David's going to ruin your entire household. Who's David? Who's David? Well, the one that slayed his 10,000s? That David. That one. They go to Abigail. That should tell you something right there. Even his own servants saw the difference between a prideful, arrogant man and a humble servant of a wife. Verse 17, now therefore, no one consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master. This is the servant speaking. And against all his household, for he is such a scoundrel that one cannot speak to him. So men, I once in a while, guys, I'm sorry, I'm going to single you guys out. But have you ever had this statement made, at least in some sort of way? You're not listening to me. Don't you hear what I'm saying? And I'm kind of looking around and I'm seeing some of the ladies look over like, why don't you listen? Because I already know the answers. That's why. I'm sorry, but there's certain, it's just, Cheryl, your reaction is just too funny. She's looking over at Mark. Anyway, sorry to single you out, but I just thought it was funny. Mark, you listen. I know you do. I know you do. Because no one can speak to him. I tell you what, all of us, men, women alike, boys, girls, we definitely need to learn the art of listening much better than we know it. Now, Abigail, on the other hand, she was a little bit different. But here's the name, the meaning of the name, Nabal. You know, there's, for us, it's not so much anymore, but when Nabal was named, it had to, even from when he was young, because they named him after the eighth day. And here's what his name meant: foolish, senseless, worthless, wicked. Thank you, Mom and Dad. Yeah. But you know, if you take it as far as it can go, the literal translation would be this: son of Belial. A son of the devil. Thank you, Mom and Dad. Or maybe somehow, some way, it was apparent that the Lord was going to have a hard time working with Nabal. For some reason, that characteristic was evident from the time that he was named. But verse 18 says this: then Abigail. Thank you, ladies, for bringing some sense into the times when us guys don't bring in the sense. And some of you ladies have this smile on your face like, uh-huh. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on donkeys. And she said to her servants, go on before me, see I am coming after you. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. What is implied by her not saying a word to Nabal? What's implied there? If in fact she had, he would have said, I still don't know this son of Jesse. I still don't know him. You're not taking my provisions and giving them to David. And she knew that, and so she didn't say a word to Nabal. The servants didn't say a word to Nabal. Then Abigail. Yeah. A little foolish. You had somebody who was known for military prowess, and you decide to go ahead and just puff your chest out. And he probably had a little bit too much to drink, and that was probably part of his bravado. Verse Verse 23, now when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed down to the ground, a show of reverence and submission. So she fell at his feet and said, on me, my Lord, on me let this iniquity be. Wait a minute. She's now playing the part of, the woman in Nabal's life was playing the part of intercessor for her own household and her own husband. She's now playing the part of intercessor. Did she do anything wrong? But she says, put the iniquity onto me. That's an amazing characteristic, wouldn't you agree? Put it onto me. And please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant. So she's saying, pause for a minute and would you please just listen. And I have had times to where Alana's just like, stop and listen. Right? Look at that. She's trying to not go, uh-huh, yep. The answer is yes. Just by the smile on her face, the answer is yes. Trust me. Verse 25, please let not my Lord regard this scoundrel Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But you know what's interesting? She was still interceding in behalf of a fool. And sometimes when foolish stuff happens, it doesn't stop our need to intercede. Sometimes the foolishness is there. But guess what? We still need to intercede. And some of you mothers, obviously, with your children, have you ever seen foolishness from your children? Did you kick them to the curb? I bet you shed a lot of tears and you prayed a lot of prayers for them, didn't you? That's intercession. I did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. So she was saying, if in fact I had, I would have hopefully been able to talk some sense into the situation. I didn't see your servants. And by the time I heard about it, it was too late. And by the way, she called her own husband foolish and scoundrel. And you guys are going to feel beat up by the end of this, but once in a while, our wives simply have to tell it like it is. Because sometimes we don't see it ourselves, but they do. Now, mind you, once in a while, we see things in wives that maybe we have to tell it like it is too, but we need to make certain that however we speak it in love. But once in a while, there is the need for the women just simply to say, hey, I'm seeing this, and this is an issue. And that's exactly what Abigail was doing. Hey, I'm seeing he's foolish. And she knew David too. Bad idea. What are you thinking? That's David. Verse 26, now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now then, let your enemies and those who seek harm for my Lord be as Nabal. Do you notice something? Who is it that really, truly, right then, was holding David back from bloodshed currently? It was Abigail. Abigail stopped him and said, you need to stop what it is that you intend to do. You need to stop that and take the time to listen to me. But do you notice, humbly, who does she give the credit for stopping David from his murderous thoughts and intentions? The Lord used Abigail as a mouthpiece to make certain that David didn't shed blood that he never consulted the Lord on. Because if he had, the Lord probably would have talked sense into him before he even left. But with impulsiveness, he had to use the woman in Nabal's life to try to talk sense into the whole situation. And now, this present which your maidservant has brought to my lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my lord. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant. Did she trespass? There's intercession again. She was taking on the trespass and or the sin of her husband and interceding in behalf of her husband. Forgive me because I wasn't around to actually witness your servants. Otherwise, maybe this wouldn't have happened. Forgive me. That is a humble, humble stance. Lord, grant us that type of humility. Amen. For the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord. Now, if Abigail had a little something that maybe we could nitpick on, that was a real passive-aggressive statement. Because the Lord's servant fights the battles of the Lord, doesn't he? She was subtly trying to say to him, are you fighting the battles of the Lord right now? Or are you just simply fighting your own? That was quite the nice little subtle statement. But she was just digging David. And it wasn't meant as a compliment. It was meant as a rebuke. Because you fight the battles of the Lord. And it doesn't say it here. I'll add it. Don't you? And David had to go, oh, wait a minute. Is this the Lord's battle? Answer, it was not. And evil is not found in you throughout your days. Or is it? I'm taking some liberties, by the way, and I'm adding to me what's implied there. She's saying, make certain you fight the battles of the Lord, and if you're not, there could be evil that's lurking in the situation. She was very much a woman of understanding. Very much a woman of understanding. Did he consult the Lord, or did he consult the insult and the anger that it caused? That's what he consulted. And of course, she goes on to say that, you know, if you shed needless blood, there could be some issue with you taking over as king of Israel. So, you know, by the way, the Lord called David to be king, but there may be other people that would have argued about that. The life of a king wasn't one that was all that secure. You were one insurrection away from being done on the throne. You know what God's people really needed from David? What they needed from David was to know that he was stable enough to occupy the throne that God called him to. They needed to know that. And she was telling him very subtly, you better make certain that you fight the battles of the Lord, because if you don't, the people that you've been called to be king over, they won't trust you anymore. Because you aren't stable enough to seek the Lord before you express your anger. Whoo! Think about that for a second. Could we, let's bring it to today, could we be unstable enough to where we aren't trustworthy with what we've been called to if, in fact, we react before we understand what it is that the Lord wants us to do. Anybody else done that in your past? Guilty as charged. She's trying to say, and the Lord through here is trying to say to each one of us, before you move forward, make certain that it's the Lord's battle. And also make certain that the position that you've been called to, understand that the Lord needs to be at the center of, so that when you move forward, you actually are, by God's grace, worthy of the position you've been called to. And it's the Lord, and the Lord only, who can give that type of wisdom to know how to move forward. David, realizing what had happened in verse 32, then David said to Abigail, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to me." He was realizing he was saved from his own self by a very wise woman. "And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand." David saw exactly what it is that he was intended to see by Abigail's words. You were fighting your own battles, and he realizes now that the Lord was outside of the battle. "Thank you, Abigail," is really what he was saying. I'll translate it into the way my mind sees it. "Thank you, Abigail, for saving me from myself. And thank you, ladies, for saving us from ourselves today at times. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, surely by morning light, no males would have been left to Nabal." So David received from her hand what she had brought him and said to her, "Go up in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person." They were wise words, and he accepted them, and it kept him from unnecessary bloodshed. I have to tell you, back in my younger days, when we very first got married, we lived about a mile from the Josephine County Fairgrounds in Grants Pass. And this friend of mine says, "Hey, there's this music group that's going to come to a concert." I've never liked going to concerts. They're way too much for me and stuff like that. So we're listening to this concert. I'm not really having that great of a time because it's not all that fun to me. But these guys said, "I need another beer." By the way, I didn't partake in the beer whatsoever. I just happened to be around it. Looking back on it, I was really uncomfortable even being around the beer, but that's neither here nor there. And over the top of me, somebody passes a beer like this with a hand that's going like this. And when it got right here, the hand went, and I got probably about a quarter of the beer on my lap. And now, mind you, I'm a hot-headed 25-year-old that happens to have Irish and Scottish blood, and that blood started to absolutely boil. Now, my friend on this side, I went like this, and I was actually ready just to throw it at somebody. And you're going, "Wow, I'm really glad you've calmed down, Pastor." yeah, praise God. And so from this side, this friend of mine goes, "There's like five or six of them, you idiot." But from this side of me, which is where Alana sat, the only thing I got was a hand on my leg and a, "Let's go home." That's it. A hand on my leg and "Let's go home." And I looked at my friend and I said, "We're out of here." And he goes, "Yeah, get out of here." Because he was thinking it was going to be like 2-on-5 or 6. And at my size, you don't have many people. You don't have many people that you're bigger than. I'm not a big person. And so it would just have been really, really bad. So he says, I'm an idiot. And she just simply says, let's go home. And so, by the way, the story ends with us walking home, which helped me kind of walk the anger off. And she was really glad it didn't happen. My friend was really glad it didn't happen. And so was I. Because at that point in time, honestly, I wasn't concerned whether it was the Lord's battle or not. I didn't care. I just wanted to knock somebody upside the head because you spilled your beer on me. But just that subtle hand on the leg and let's go home was a big deal because it would have gone really, really bad, really, really quick. And the woman that the Lord put in my life saved me from myself. And by the way, I don't go to concerts anymore. They're not worth it. Not even close. And you know what? So tomorrow we celebrate the women and specifically the mothers in our lives. And so, again, happy Mother's Day. But realize that the Lord puts these women in our lives for a reason. They're a gift, and we need to celebrate that. We very much need to celebrate that. Especially when the testosterone boils, especially when the brain shuts off, and all I'm thinking is from my limbic system. You can ask Dr. Mark about what the limbic system is, or Dr. Luke about what the limbic system is. But the other thing that's really, really key is we need to make sure that we listen when they say, man, make sure you fight the battles of the Lord. Because if we're fighting the battles of the Lord, it's going to go well. And God put the women in our lives to remind us that he wants it to go well. So, do we have, did I see that we have something at the end of, all right, here we go.
And maybe I'll much as you love me, then maybe you'll finally see you have given enough for me, a gift that will last through eternity.
So
I like that song. Where'd you get that from?
I can give you the credit. Shauna Edwards Music.
Okay. I mean, I wasn't looking for a disclaimer or anything, but anyway, that was good. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you. Thank you for giving us the mothers that you've blessed us with. Thank you for the women in our lives, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you would help all of us to be able to know that the battles that we fight are definitely supposed to be the battles of the Lord. And sometimes it just takes your reminder, and sometimes it takes the reminder from the woman in our lives. Help us to make certain that we just fight the battles of the Lord. And so, Lord, pour out a blessing on moms everywhere, but especially this group here. Just pour out your blessing today, especially pour out your blessing tomorrow. So thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.